Welcome to the Raise with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for July 30th, 2019, looking at the second portion of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It's a lot of twos, isn't it? We'll begin in verse 12. When I came to Troas to proclaim the gospel of Christ, and a door was opened for me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ and reveals the fragrance of his knowledge through us in every place. Yes, we are the fragrance of Christ for God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To some we are the odor of death, that is a prelude to death. To the others, the fragrance of life, that is a prelude to life. And who is qualified for these things? To be sure, we are not like many who peddle the word of God for profit. Instead, in Christ, we speak with sincerity in the sight of God, as men from God. This is the word of our God. The picture that Paul uses here as he describes his travel plans is a little bit involved. But first, about his travel plans, very simply, I suppose. Troas is up in the northwestern corner of modern-day Turkey, Asia Minor. Not quite up to the Straits of Bosporus or modern-day Constantinople, but it's about as far north and northwest as you can get in Asia Minor without crossing over to Macedonia. You might remember from the book of Acts that while he is there in Troas, Paul has a vision of a man of Macedonia saying, Come and worship or bring the word of God to us. Come and minister to us. And so he and Luke and Timothy, I think, go over to Macedonia to minister to them there. And I think that's the part that he's talking about here because that was on Paul's second missionary journey. And now he's on his third missionary journey. And he highlights a little bit of the other element of what he had talked about. That the reason that he didn't get down to Corinth here on the third missionary journey is that as he traveled through that area, strengthening the churches and visiting the churches that he had started, he's also looking for Titus because he's wanting to meet up with Titus. And this is obviously the days before cell phones and pagers and Facebook and Find My iPhone and all that. This is Paul trying to track down his friend that he had left behind to minister in Ephesus for a while. And so Paul brings the Corinthians in to understand the rest of the story, that they aren't the only church that he's ministered to, that he has other concerns on his mind as well. Among them is Titus, who has probably gone ahead of him to Macedonia, and that's where he's going, and he wants to get there. And that's just kind of the background. But despite all of those worries and cares and concerns that he's listed in the book up until verse 13, including the schemes of Satan back in verses 10 and 11 that would try to rob Christians of the comfort of their forgiveness. Despite all of that, Paul can say in verse 14, "But thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ and reveals the fragrance of his knowledge through us in every place." And the entire picture here turns on that word triumph. Triumph, you know, you and I just think of, you know, victory, maybe a big victory. Maybe it was a hard-fought Super Bowl, and the Green Bay Packers triumphed, right? Hopefully. But when he says that word triumph here, it really opens the door on this other picture of a Roman triumph. Roman triumph is the victory parade after a long drawn-out battle. And you got to picture this. It's like, you know, the war goes on for 15 years, for 20 years, for a long time, as Julius Caesar is trying to conquer France, or the Romans are fighting against Carthage down in northern Africa. And the empire has been under attack. The empire has been threatened this entire time. They are devoting their resources. They are sending their soldiers. And they are doing their best. And everybody is involved to a greater or lesser degree. And finally, after all of that battling, the Roman army has won. And they host a triumph parade. The Roman triumph. And so what that is, the general marches into town. And it's this parade where you've got everybody is packing the streets, lining the streets. You've got rose petals flying down. You've got incense floating up. You've got sacrifices being made. It's a party. There's music. Everybody's rejoicing. It's like a ticker tape parade at the end of World War II. And first, the army marches through town. Everybody's cheering. And they bring in the opposing captives who are walking in chains. They parade all the animals, the exotic animals that they've captured and taken as their own. They've brought in all the treasures of the opposing country. All the implements, like from the temple at Jerusalem. There's even an arch of triumph that depicts the looting of the temple at Jerusalem and them parading the treasures of the temple through the streets of Rome. And even that phrase, the Arch of Triumph or the Arc de Triomphe, there's one in Paris, France, that Napoleon had built in order to try and imitate the triumph that the Romans had here. Trying to be, modern day Caesar was his goal. And so this triumph has all these treasures, all of this glamour, all this joy. And through it all, it's all just under this massive cloud of incense and sacrifices as the people are rejoicing. And the rose petals are floating down. People are rejoicing that the battle has been won, the war has been won, the opposing enemy has been conquered. The captives are marched through town. And finally, in the second to last spectacle is the opposing king walking in shackles, maybe chains around his neck, around his hands, around his feet. Maybe the people are pelting him with rotten fruit, and they're cheering and they're booing and all the cacophony. And then finally, last is the conquering general standing there in his chariot, and a slave standing right behind him whispering in his ear, remembering that you are only a man, remember that you are mortal. But the people cheer because the war has been won, the battle has been finished. The opposing enemy that had threatened them for so long is now marching in chains through their city, completely pacified. And the parade winds its way through the city all the way up to the Colosseum, where the animals will be fought and sacrificed, where the opposing captives will fight to the death. And the culmination of the day, the opposing king will be fought to the death. And all of that is marked by the scent, the smell, the sound of the triumph, the scent of the incense to the Roman people who are lining the streets there. It is the scent of victory, the smell of victory, because they've won. To the captives walking through the streets, it's the smell of defeat. It's the same smell, but two different reactions, either victory or defeat. Verse 14, but thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph, like a Roman triumph, causes us to triumph in Christ and reveals the fragrance of his knowledge through us in every place. Talked about one fragrance, the fragrance of the triumph of this Jesus who has conquered death, who has risen from the dead, who has completely won and beaten the devil. Yes, we are the fragrance of Christ, both among those who are being saved and also among those who are perishing. In the triumph, the ones who are saved are the Roman citizens. The ones who are perishing are the captive enemies. We are the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To some, we are the odor of death that is a prelude to death. To the others, the fragrance of life that is a prelude to life. And who is qualified for these things? To be sure, we are not like many who peddle the word of God for profit. Instead, we speak with sincerity in the sight of God. What does that mean? That you and I have been made members of this victory parade. That Jesus beat the devil, he conquered death, he has led captives in his train. This Jesus who has ascended into heaven with all authority and power and on earth, who has broken the power of death, has made you a member of the winning team. He has made you a member of the Roman army marching through the streets. He has made you a member of the Roman citizenship lining the streets and cheering. And Paul says, we spread everywhere the fragrance of his knowledge through us in every place. To some, the fragrance of life. To others, the stench of death. The one gospel message of the fact that Jesus has won. It will be received in two different ways. To some, rejoicing. To others, hatred, because in their unrepentance, they did not want to admit and they did not want to submit to this Jesus Christ. But to those who are being saved, Christ, the power of God, is this fragrance of life to you and to me, to say, dear friend, there is nothing more to fear because your Jesus has won, and through him, you have joined this triumph. He has baptized you into this triumph, and you have won too. You can find us Wednesday night, 7 p.m., and Sunday morning, 9 a.m., at 2250 South Holland Savannah Road in Maumee. You could also check us out on Instagram at RaisedWithJesus. God bless your day.